the voice. I will lead and not follow. I will believe and not doubt. I will create, not destroy. I am a force for God. Therefore, I am a force for good. I, Jennifer Patricia Russell, am a leader. I will defy the odds. I will set a new standard, especially for female intimate health. Step up. Step up. Step up. That is what Hair Health and Happiness intends to do. We are about to step up. How you doing? I hope, like me, you too remember that you are blessed and highly favored, a magnet for miracles, the solution to someone's problem, and the answer to somebody's prayer. This week, God is going to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask, think, or imagine. You know, I've got the biggest smile on my face. Her Health and Happiness is a show dedicated to all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person. And when you get to hear this show from Thursday onwards, know that I have gone out Thursday evening and I have unveiled the she in She Comes First. And I am so, so, so excited. So if you hear this on Thursday before 6 p.m. UK time, GMTV, and you still want to book your space, then all you need to do is go onto my Instagram page, at Pelvic Secrets. Click the link in the bio, book your space. Because I promise you, this evening will be an evening of edutainment. And to that end, I'm going to start this show with the start of what I intend to share. Because it's great practice for me as well. It's a great rehearsal run. And also, for those of you around the world who'll be like, I can't get to hear what you've got to say. I really, really want to and hope that this will inspire you so much. So I am still floating since speaking since attended even, the Tony Robbins Unleash the Power Within. And I mean, I had unleashed my power before, but now it's really like, it's out of the box. Pandora's box for me is 100% open. And where it's going to take me, where I am going, is absolutely amazing. I love that whole fact. And I'd said it a couple of weeks before I attended. When you step up, don't step backwards. You have been given everything pertaining to life and liberty. So take it. Run with it. Embrace it. Use it. But don't allow yourself to step back. So imagine you're in this wonderful space. Remember, it was the original first fire station in the heart of Soho. And then it was the first center point and shelter. And now it's this amazing coffee shop, Sacred Grounds. I love the name Sacred Grounds. So it's a wonderful space. It's a small but intimate space, 40 seats. And I've got this, if you haven't seen on my Instagram post page, at Pelvic Secrets, check out my flower power suit, because I'm telling you, right? Fly girl in the house. If you didn't know me before, trust me, you will not forget me on Thursday. Visually, you won't forget me. And what I'm about to share will really inspire someone. So imagine me just stepping out in front of you. My arms are wide, east and west. And I'm just telling you this. Look at all my queens in front of me. Look at these beautiful queens, every queen with a queen within her. It has been said, I've heard it said, that every man has a king and a fool within him. F-O-O-L, fool. It just depends on how you speak to that man as to which one turns up. You speak to the man in a nonchalant, non-respective, blasé attitude, and the fool will present and rear his ugly head. Here is the fool. He will respond accordingly. But if you speak to the man with respect, in harmony, in humility, in love, the king will always appear. Now, that's just a bit of useless information. I mean, do with it what you will, but it is true. Use that information. However, here's the thing. For us as females, it's not about how you speak to us as to whether our queen will appear. The queen resides within us regardless of how we are approached. So back in 2003, I started writing my first book, looking at the relationship between the lower abdominals, the pelvic floor, and their impact on sexual function. Now, the title is always the hardest part to get. It's the hardest part to put together. So there's me in my kitchen, washing my dishes, minding my own business, staring into my garden, my freshly manicured lawn, the gardeners had been. And God drops this title into my head. Now, before I say anything, it is a rhetorical question. A rhetorical question doesn't need an answer. And in pops into my head, can a vagina really buy a Mercedes? I mean, before you say anything, I've had it said from many male clients I've worked with in the past, of course it can. And with any other car, it does not flow. So can a vagina really buy a Mercedes, subtitled, What Can Your Pelvic Floor Do For You? Was my first book published in 2005. Now, back then, we never had the access to AI and all these different platforms we have now. Facebook, yes, but we never had all these different platforms here. And social media was not such a big thing. But I managed to sell 4,000 copies of that book without even touching a shelf in a bookshop. I had a whole page in the then News of the World Sunday magazine. And I also had a 9-minute interview on This Morning Television with the then well-respected, I still respect him, Philip Schofield and Fern Britton. So the book did really well. But I want you to just look at the screen and look at the number plate, because I love that number plate. My friend David designed that cover and it was like, yeah, this is great. But my son said to me, he was only in secondary school then, he's like, just started secondary school. He's like, Mum, if you get that number plate, I won't get in the car and go to school with you. And that number plate was simply V4 Gina. But let's roll on 12 years, 2017, and God said to me, look at that number plate again. And so I did. I looked into that number plate. And something said to me, look up the meaning for Gina. So my question is, does anybody know what Gina means? Because Gina is Italian for queen. So, and then I'll indicate to that part of our body, we have a queen within us. As I said at the start, the queen within us will always reside. And we know already a VA's job is to make whatever we do vibrantly appealing. And suddenly she becomes vibrantly appealing Gina, the most sought after girl I know, the entrance to a gateway that brings love, life and flow. Yet many underrate her and call her all kinds of names. Not understanding Gina may cause a life of hurt and shame. She's very emotional with that Gina. She takes in everything. The hurts, the disappointments, the pains and all the sins. Not only in the biblical sense is Gina sinned against, but in the lack of knowledge for all she has to do to ensure your health and your health and happiness is maintained your whole life through. So what makes up her character? What crowns her head, the very essence of her being, many want to take to bed. She's more than sex, she's everything that defines who we are. From posture to gait and new life, her memory is as the stars. Her cervix, her crowning glory, the orgasmic collector of he, stands guard against the enemy to protect the room above, or to let in new life, most times created in love. Inside her wonderful womb room is where hormone conversation with the ovaries is done. And its role in brain and cardiovascular function, pelvic and spinal stability, really is second to none. The seed of her youthfulness, or an indicator of change, the uterus is the life within Gina's homely domain. So it pays to get to know her and give her what she needs, so she will always be rewarding in love, life, and ecstasy. So don't be afraid to know her or neglect to care, because vibrantly appealing Gina is more vibrant to your health and happiness than you may be aware. So don't call her names. And after three, we're going to say her name really loud. Call her Vagina. Then I'll say 1, 2, 3, and the whole room will chant the name. So, as I said, she's the entrance to a gateway. So let's go into the gateway. Let's go into Gina and let's go into her nucleus. Let's start at her nucleus because this is a really important part for us to understand when it comes to unveiling the she, and she comes first. Behold the uterus, our emotional epicenter, our memories haven, and hormonal conversator. Housing the dance between ovaries and brain, guiding our hearts through our joys and pains. I mean, what exactly does that mean? And what conversations do your uterus have, or does your uterus have, with your ovaries? And how do these conversations impact and affect your brain and cardiovascular function? I mean, who told you these things happen? I mean, this is the metaphor within the verse that I've just described, which describes the uterus literally as like your emotional hub. It's like the emotional epicenter and the haven for our memories, right? So for us women, it's literally like our second brain. Excuse me. So imagine the conversation the uterus is having with the ovaries through hormonal signals. And primarily, the hormones that are giving those signals are estrogen and progesterone. But once you start to realize that, suddenly hormonal harmony becomes so much more important. Because not only do they release via the ovaries a signal to the uterus to produce and prepare for potential pregnancy or to help regulate our menstrual cycle, but they have a much broader impact on our various bodily systems. So I kind of think of it like, is imagine the relationship between your brain, your heart health, cardiovascular function, and your uterus and your ovaries. But for me, it's like, it might be like a statement of gratitude. So the brain might actually sort of say to the ovaries and the uterus, like, via the hormones, right? Estrogen, thank you so much for the crucial role you play in helping me maintain cardiovascular health by regulating my blood vessel function and breaking down and storage of fats for energy, for example. I mean, that's a big thing, right? Regulating blood pressure, blood vessel function. So that's got to do with blood pressure, right? Helping you to break down and use the storage of fats for energy. That's massive, right? Or it might say, thank you for the neuroprotective effects you have on me, influencing cognitive function, mood regulation, and memory formation. That's estrogen. That's what the brain is thankful for, right? And then we look at progesterone on the other hand, because I mean that complements estrogen in promoting the relaxation of the blood vessels, right? So then that's blood pressure, like I said. Or and preparing the lining of the womb for a fertilized egg. But the brain might also say, progesterone, thank you for your impact on calming my brain, balancing my mood, and reducing any anxiety. Now, when it comes to some of the menopause symptoms we talk about, anxiety, brain fog, mood swings, you know, that might be a sign of progesterone underload rather than overload, right? You know, we're looking at blood pressure influences, we're looking at cognitive function, you know, then it's not just a case of the estrogen and the progesterone disappearing. It's also the way in which the conversation for the signals and the production between the uterus and the ovaries, it's that breakdown that we have to consider. Can you imagine conversations though between the uterus and the ovaries and they're being mediated by these two hormones in particular, that they would have such a broader impact on our health beyond reproduction? Because it's this little known knowledge that once acquired can go a long way to understanding and valuing this intricate connection between our reproductive system and our overall health. I mean, A stronghold of posture, stability is throne. Between bladder and bowel, the uterus stands alone. And beyond its role in new life start, it marks our wellness in our monthly menses part. The uterus, not just for babies, you see, but a lifelong beacon of vitality. So let's laugh, ponder, embrace its limitless might, for within its walls lies our endless light. We're in, we've just learned something, so what are we going to do about it? We have to look at the implications for our emotional well-being. From the first big life event in the area of our female life cycle, which is the start of the intimate life cycle train journey, right through to the last big event that affects us as females. We have to ask, right? How old were you when you had your first period? Where were you? Were you between maths and English? Were you in a class? Were you on the bus going home with your friends? Were you the first person in your class to have a period? Were you the last? What did your dad start to say? Was his panic was, oh my God, my daughter's of reproductive age. What could happen? Any man comes near, I'm ready to kill him. What was the relationship like with your mum? Who spoke to you about it? Because the emotional empowerment or disempowerment, the roller coaster that we first started when we got into this emotional train journey and our first big life event started the first day we saw red downstairs. That's when it started. And how we handled it, how we were educated about it, what we learned about it, how we understood the impact our nutrition and lifestyle had on it, how we knew how to adjust exercises because of it, how we understood the implications for our breath, movement ability, how we understood circadian health and what happens. All of these things play a massive role and they make a big difference. And this is why the 60-day journey is so powerful, because every letter in She Comes First stands for an area of health that some areas you may not even consider that we need to put together to balance the puzzle. It's like 13 pieces of a jigsaw that come under the umbrella of 8 basic principles that allow us to live life better. Now, here's the thing. I don't want you to panic if you think that, oh my God, I never had this information when I was young. I didn't have it either. But the Bible says our latter days are better than our former days. And we also know that knowledge is power. So this is an opportunity for us to empower ourselves so that we can indeed have a better experience as we head towards the end of the female life cycle, the end of reproductive health, the end of the reproductive years. But it's not the end of our years. Whilst we're in this reproductive phase, menstrual or maternal, it's not, and it doesn't have to be a detrimental experience if we start to understand what the body does, how the body does it, and how we can empower ourselves. Because our body is our business, and today we're going to make this business pay. Who's with me? That's my start. What do you think? Email me, info@pelvicfloorsecrets.com, or find me on Instagram, or book a space if you've got time today to listen, because that's just the start of an evening with Jenny Russell. Let's
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Imagine life on your terms. So what if you woke up feeling refreshed every morning, your body humming with vitality, your mind clear and focused? Could you picture a world where self-love and self-care were your guiding stars? Where hormonal harmony was your natural state and emotional elevation or emotional empowerment, your daily reality? Can you close your eyes and imagine having no worries about career longevity because you've made the quality of your life paramount, where freedom of movement isn't hindered by fear or embarrassing leaks? Can you envision a journey into and beyond menopause, free from brain fog, hot flushes, and or anxiety, even around driving. Just to name a few things. A life where you get to reclaim control and thrive in every season. Are you ready to turn this imagination into reality? Because if you are, then I invite you to join me from Monday the 8th of April and step into the next 60-day journey, unveiling the she and she comes first, and taking this journey of self-discovery, hormonal harmony, and emotional empowerment. Because this will really make a difference to who you are and who you are becoming. It will make a difference to how you see sickness, dis-ease, or dysfunction, how you rise above the challenge, and how you overcome. It will make a difference to how you see what you can do and experience your ability to actually take back control and be in charge of your intimate and overall health, because you honestly do hold keys that you didn't even know were possible to be able to do and have such things. Now, I feel at the moment like I'm going for a season where the challenges are coming. So I'd gone to play Scrabble last Thursday afternoon, and there was a new guy there, and I am quite an animated character, I will say, but I give God thanks for what he's blessed me with. And this guy he called me a mouthy black girl. It's quite funny. But he didn't say it to my face, but he said it so I could hear. And he said, if that mouthy black girl comes, I'm not coming back. Now, honestly, that didn't worry me. I said, I heard you. And the other lady said, oh, Jenny, please don't worry about it. And I said, honestly, I said, me, worried? Fearfully and wonderfully made, make blessed and highly favoured, designed for signs and wonders. I cannot be worried. I looked at the man and said, Satan can't trouble me. So, you know, he is an enemy of anything that I stand for as far as I'm concerned. But I also know that, you know, the word says that I don't battle against flesh. So it's not him, it's the spirit within him. So it's not him that I have to worry about, but the spirit within him. So I have to condemn it for myself, so I understand the power of my words. Anyway, I think I also opened the door for Satan to say, watch what's going to happen. So on Sunday, I went cycling with the guys. I didn't go to church. You know, I'm very much a believer. I really battled with this one. But the guys that I cycled with, it was our first day back. And they had an event they wanted to take us to as the women. And they begged and begged and begged, so I went. Anyhow, as I was riding up to meet them, I wanted to get through the lights. I stood out of my seat. As I stood out of my seat, it's like the ligaments behind my left knee just, it's like they knotted themselves together. I have never sat down so fast in my life. But I'm a soldier, so I carried on. And I carried on and I carried on and I carried on. Oh my God! Honestly, I live in Enfield. The Cutty Sark is nowhere near Enfield. That's where I had to get the Uber home from. The Uber. Because I cycled out and it just got worse, it got worse, and it got worse. We went to this wonderful place with all these vintage cars and music and food. It was wonderful. Listened to some speeches. Lee Jasper was there, made some really good points about the vote for black people, which I thought was really, really important. We are the least people to vote and those points. But the point he made that really stood out for me was that the least people that vote in an area, the councils and the government allocate money to the areas based on the citizens within it. Now, they know there are more citizens than that vote, but they allocate the money according to the voters. And not only do they allocate the money according to the voters, so if you don't vote, you're not counted, and that can affect, you know, mothers, children, the whole lot. But it also can affect your credit rating. The other thing is, obviously, we've now got the voter ID coming in. And so what they're also going to be looking at is if you don't vote and you don't voice here, you won't have a voice to use because other things will be taken from you. So I think it was really, really important. And that point I want to just add in as I continue my story. So we were there for about an hour and a half. Then I got on my bike. I couldn't even push down on the pedal. It was not a good look. So I had to get an Uber back home. And the boys were so beautiful. They paid for my taxi back home. So I'm sitting here with my left leg 1.5 times the size of my right. So I'm giving thanks. If you look on my Instagram, you'll see the power suit I'm wearing on Thursday. Thank the Lord for wide trousers. It's just going to be an evening of edutainment, an evening of enlightenment and empowerment. And on Sunday, honestly, I was really empowered by that, you know, by what Lee Jasper shared. I do vote anyway, but I just think, you know, saying even if you go and you waste your vote, you just need to be counted. If you're in an area where there are a higher number of votes, there is a bigger amount of money available to you. So sometimes we look at councils and we think in the more affluent areas, you know, councils are allocated more money. But if the more affluent areas know this information and go out and vote, that's why the allocation is there. So we need to start doing that so that we actually make sure that our boroughs, our communities are given what is rightfully theirs. Go and spoil the paper if you have to. Go and vote for somebody who's not counted. But the votes are counted. So when they see that of how much people voted in general, maybe the majority that they may win by, they suddenly realise isn't that bigger a deal when you compare it to the amount of people that vote. That's the point that's being made. And that's the point that I think we need to be able to address and understand so that we are in a better position to empower ourselves. And when we are in a better position to empower ourselves, we are in a better position to empower others. Because that is what it's about. It's about blessed to be a blessing. It's not about what you get for yourself, but it really truly is about what you are able to offer, do, or support other people. That's what makes life more interesting. That's what makes it, you know, makes it worthwhile to actually be able to live that kind of life. When you are actually a blessing to somebody else, someone who may have less than you, and you're able to offer them something that will actually empower them, uplift them, and give them a sense of a hope and a future. Now, last week, Friday, Good Friday, I mean, I hope you guys had an amazing Easter. I didn't even address that. I hope you had an amazing Easter. And of course, Jesus is always the reason for the season. Last Friday in church, we watched a film called I Believe. It's a Christian film. And I watched it on Amazon Prime beforehand. And I have to say that the acting isn't that fantastic, but the sheer innocence of this young boy was so inspiring to me. And yes, the supernatural things that may happen, you'll be like, oh my gosh, they're so far-fetched. But there's so many things in life that happen supernaturally. It's to watch it with an open mind. And it's to really, like, look at what you can take away from what you learn. Because everything we watch is either giving us a warning or an example. Everything we experience is giving us a warning or an example. And we can be the warning, or we can heed the warning, or we can learn from the warning, or we can be the example, or we are the example. But we've just got to make sure that we turn everything into good, for our good, so that it works for us. So the Bible says that, you know, that let your light so shine, so what are you doing, that men will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, you know, I know not everyone believes, and that's fine, but people believe in something. That's the truth. Everybody believes in something. And I believe in God. People believe in different things, but I believe in God. I know for me, he's my way maker, miracle worker, light in the darkness. He's my promise keeper. So I know that already. I know that people will sit and, you know, I'm reading a fantastic book right now called The Magic of Believing. And I do know that it's in your head. Faith without works is dead. Everybody has a measure of faith. And the Bible talks about your measure of faith. It's what's given to you according to your measure of faith. When we book a holiday, like we booked our holiday before Christmas by the grace of God to celebrate one of my closest friends' 50th birthday at the end of July. You know, we got a payment date by the end of this month to make the payment, the final payment. And we are all going off to Dubai to celebrate this 50th birthday. Not one of us, by God's grace, is expecting not to go. Not one of us is thinking, oh, I'll book it, but what if, what if, what if? Yes, we take out insurance because that covers us. But even that insurance gives us peace of mind that, you know, we don't even think about it, right? It's there. That's a measure of faith. So, you know, and faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So the hope is that, you know, the 31st of July will come, Nothing else will change what we're doing and where we're going. We will jump on that airplane by the grace of God. God will guide us over to Dubai. We will have 6 amazing days in Dubai. Her brother is a doctor in the Arab Emirates, around in there. And he's going to pay for us to go on this amazing boat party for her birthday. It's going to be absolutely amazing. I'll be totally de-genified because Jean's going to make most of the outfits that I'm carrying to wear over there for the 6 days. And I'm going to come back empowered and enlightened and hopefully have made a big difference. I'm also hoping for opportunities to be able to do some things in the States, which would be amazing as well. But I'm not doing it and thinking, I'm not sure. I know already that, like everybody else that's booked the trip, I booked it in faith. Now, what I have to do is do the works to generate the finance to pay for that. That's my way of being able to work towards manifesting and having the experience of going to Dubai. I have to put the work in because faith without works is dead. I can't just say I'm going to Dubai, but I don't book my ticket, I don't pay the money, I don't pay the final balance, I don't do anything. If I don't do those things, I won't experience it. So that's the works. When it comes to building my business, when it comes to making changes, that's the works. When it comes to clients, booking my services and booking the coaching to be able to live life better, to be able to not worry about embarrassing leaks or a lack of sexual function or poor posture or poor body shape or loss of confidence or brain fog and all of these things that we'll be sharing on Thursday, and also really diving into depth in and actually having an action plan to walk away with from the 60 day, I will share information. But the faith is, the works that you have to do is to implement those things, to take action on the action steps that I give you and to follow them through relentlessly and resiliently and allow you to experience what happens when you do so. And as you do those things and you have those experiences, you will actually start to see the changes that you say you desire for yourself. And they will become your reality and they become your new lifestyle. And as they become your new lifestyle and your life is free from debilitation, it's free from sickness, it's free from disease, it's free from debilitation, as you're able to prepare yourself like I am to meet your husband, I'm meeting my husband this year in 2024 by God's grace, I am meeting my husband, my tall, godly, athletic husband, my husband who's fully established, my leader, lover, listener, learner, who would teach, guide and encourage me to be more than himself. The man who I know I can hold hands with and agree a thing. A man I can go for a walk or a run with in the woods. A man that I can go hiking with. A man that will come and be part of our cycling group. A man I can play tennis with. A man I can sit down and just, you know, watch a chick flick with. A man that I can read books with. And a man that wants to be a part of the journey of creating this movement towards empowerment for females globally. That man who wants to escape to the country and actually wants to be a part of the empire that I want to build, but it becomes our empire, not my empire, and be a part of the legacy that we left for my sons and in even the children that he has. You know, I'm very excited about that. That man that God knows, that even though he knows that looks are fleeting, man, God has given me a man who has got dashing looks, warm loving eyes, chiseled cheekbones, broad smile, luscious lips, his own beautiful teeth. And that's a very important point for me, his own beautiful teeth. You know, a man that I don't have to fear my future for, because I know that he's a man of God like myself. And I know already that what God has put before me, what we are building, it will not be torn down or broken apart. That's that person for me. That's how sure I am. But also I know in order for me to be found by my husband, and I know that I've stepped up into a position of peerage that's above where I am right now, and that's where I want to be and on that level there, then I have to make sure that, you know, proximity is power. So I can't sit in my house, locked away in Enfield, and expect this man of position and authority and influence to come knocking on my door. Proximity is power. So I have to understand who I'm aligning myself with, the places I'm allowing myself to be, to be and to be seen. the audience for whom I put myself in front of, all of these things count as something that's going to help my faith walk towards my husband finding me. Because remember, the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I'm a good thing. I will be found. But I can't be found if I try to be like a lamp that should be standing on a bedstand but wants to hide itself under the bed. It will not happen. So that's the works I have to do in faith, that God has heard my prayer, and I have just testified it right here in my radio show that it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. Let me share my final trail. Let's finish this show. By the grace of God.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So we are in the last leg of this week's show, and I do hope it has inspired somebody, whether it's someone like myself waiting to be found by their husband, or it's somebody who really just feels like they need to understand even just uterine health, because hysterectomies are big business in the medical field. And many women are told that they don't need their womb. But that little bit of information I shared at the top of the show, I hope it makes somebody, or it helps somebody, to make a different decision. Now, I understand endometriosis. I understand fibroids. I understand these things can make for very painful periods. But also what has to happen is that there is some nutritional lifestyle changes that must be made first. And it's important for us to decide, you know, in my book, Pelvic Floor Secrets, I deliberately entitled chapter 12, as in, it's like diet, and it's like love life or love food. And the question really there becomes, is that, you know, do you love your food so much so that you're willing to risk your health and vitality for it? And at that, it's not a problem loving food, but it's the quality of the food that you love that's the problem. This is why I like to now talk about nutrition rather than food, because there are many things that are called food that have and are devoid of all nutritional content. And so therefore, they do nothing to impact our wellness or well-being. But for me, diet, as I put it in my book, you know, it's a green and red acronym. And it really is simply the difference in eating this, green, eating towards optimizing health, versus the difference in eating that, red foods, that work towards minimizing health. There are only two ways for us to eat, no matter what it is you choose to eat. There are only two ways to eat. The choices you make will either help you to optimize your health, or they'll take you towards minimizing it. So you have to make a decision about what is going to be your staple food? Foods that minimize your health or foods that maximize your health? That's the nutrition on the plate. The other nutrition is the thoughts, is the emotional, hormonal, organ responses to the thoughts that you have. Are those thoughts that will take you towards optimizing your health, putting you in a peak state where you're releasing oxytocin and serotonin? Or are they thoughts that will minimize your health and actually put you into a stress state where you're releasing too much adrenaline and cortisol, your short-term stress hormones? Because that makes a difference. It makes a difference to how you breathe, which then makes a difference to the environment inside, which also makes a difference to which hormones you release, your breath. So there's so many things that will affect your breath. The thoughts, the thoughts, the emotions, the food, the lack of water, the lack of sleep, the lack of movement, all of those play their part in actually what happens to the body, the environment within, and whether the body thinks or responds as if it's dying inside by acidifying the body, or actually allows the pathways that promote restoration, rebuilding, refreshing, and repair. These are the differences that we have to consider. So, of course, health and nutrition has become a highlighted topic in the wake of King Charles and Kate Middleton. And it's interesting because obviously cancer has been a topic that's been on the news for a long, long time. And there are many people out there who have been advocating and pushing. Colin McFarlane has been a key one on prostate health. And they've been advocating and pushing for increased awareness or to get people to take charge and control of their own health and happiness. And that really is something that now that it's actually something that's proliferated itself within the monarchy, that people are now paying a bit more attention to. For me, I don't really mind who it is that's the advocate for it, but I wish we wouldn't make it be that it's only since the onset of these issues for these two people that it suddenly becomes a topic of conversation. We already know there are Race for Lives and things going on all the time. There have been many people that have been pushing for or trying to encourage people with better lifestyle habits. So the Queen Consort, Queen Camilla, has been encouraging Prince Charles to break a lifelong habit. And his lifelong habit has been to skip meals. Many people skip meals. But that skipping of meals for a lot of people can actually have a major negative impact on blood sugar regulation, on organ function, on immunity, and the body's ability to resist sickness and disease or to recover from sickness and disease. But those things alone don't stand alone, because the nutrition and lifestyle that's in or without makes a massive difference, but so does the hydration of the body make a massive difference. Many people may skip a meal, but they may drink lots and lots of water and hydrate themselves, or you know, make juices and drink hydrating juices and hydrating foods in the form of a juice or a smoothie, which will also help to hydrate the body, bring in essential vitamins and minerals, and keep the body regulating well. It depends on, obviously, you know, the kind of job you're doing, the pressures you're under, whether or not you're releasing excess stress hormones, and they do have a rigorous schedule to stay on. But they're the sixth richest family on the earth, bearing in mind that much of their wealth comes from things they've taken from other people all around the world. But they own a sixth of the earth. So these are the things we have to consider. Now, I'm not looking at their wealth and where they're at, because obviously it was acquired before them and passed down the line. Things are not being given back. But no matter what you do, what I've always said is your body is your business. And all of a sudden, now these people that go around doing all these royal duties are now suddenly finding out that actually the first duty they have is to themselves. What I'm praying is that where they have to now pull back from some of their public duties and actually make their body their business, that we will start to think, can we do the same? Of course, they have access to the top care that many people don't have. There was an article in the paper the other day saying that many people are passing away before they even get to the appointment they've been waiting for because the NHS is so overstretched. This is why it's even more important for us in that regard to recognise that it's not, our health doesn't belong to a third party. It belongs to us. During the lockdown, there's been a couple of amazing young doctors, Jarrell was one of them, that really went out there and really stood and advocated for you understanding a bit more about your health and how you can take charge of control. This is what She Comes First is about. It's an investment into a 60-day journey that allows you to have a bit more of an understanding about your health so that you can be in charge and that you can retake charge, reclaim charge, and have that charge of control. Because at the end of the day, no matter what I may coach you and share with you, no matter what the gynecologist or the doctor will do, if you do not implement or take on board what you are being told, then your outcome is as a consequence of your decisions. Not my decisions or my advice, it's your decisions as to whether or not you want to implement or try and see what it is I've told you and actually get the experience from it or not. You know, Camilla will look after her husband. Any wife will look after their husband if they love them. And, it, you know, whether we like what they did and how they're together, it's very clear that they very much love each other. That is very, very, very clear. And so, you know, I respect her for that. It's great that if this is what we need to see and you have to follow that leader before you do it for yourself, then I implore you to do that. To, you know, not all of us have someone there to be able to be the advocate for us, to be able to be that cheerleader for us. So sometimes we just have to make a decision for ourselves and say, right, this is the life I want to live. This is the way I want to live my life. And these are the choices that I'm going to make, because I know that my choices ultimately will impact the outcome of where I find myself. That is literally what we have. And that is literally what we are in control of. And it's fantastic. You can have an absolute fantastic life. They've lived a good life. He will live a good life. By the grace of God, there's many more years ahead of Charles. There are many more years ahead of Kate. Don't worry about what they have access to. Remember, it's about the decisions they make and also recognizing that, you know, how do you get rid of the stinking thinking? It's very hard when your business is all over the papers and they want to watch your every mood. It's very hard to not be so stress-induced. It's not very easy. It's not very easy at all. So let's pray that, you know, breath work, breathing, Tai Chi, Qigong, those things will be parts of what they do. Let's pray they're given the space to actually be able to allow the body to rest and repair, that they recognize the circadian health and the sleep time, that water be, you know, their best friend, you know, and that they can change their thoughts and where they are. And the movements they do are what we call working in exercises, things that will promote restoration, repair, rebuild and restore, not the high energy stuff that everyone else has been pushed down their throat, which will actually give them more cortisol. That will not help them. But I have run out of time. PelvicSecrets@iCloud.com is my email address. PelvicSecrets is my handle on X, Instagram and TikTok. And Jenny with an I, Russell, is where you'll find me on LinkedIn and Facebook. If you want to book the 60-day journey, any of those things, contact me. I would love to have you on board. Monday the 8th of April, we start anew. And this is about time we took back control. Until next week in health and happiness, stay blessed, stay safe.